In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For those of us who are required to preach from the lectionary, rather than choosing a theme that we feel called to preach upon, or a scripture passage that has our attention on any given week, we're sometimes given passages from scripture that we would rather just leave well enough alone. Sometimes we are forced to address those very passages that make us most uncomfortable. Thankfully, there are also times in the lectionary has readings that feel like a very beautiful wrapped package that just is waiting to be opened up. This is not one of those times. This particular parable, the parable known as the parable of the unjust judge, makes me want to take a Sunday off each time it comes up in our 3-year lectionary rotation. If I were more shrewd, I would probably mark this date in my calendar for the year 2016, so I would make sure that I was on vacation on the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, year C. But so far, I haven't thought that far in advance, so here we are, wrangling with this difficult piece from Luke's Gospel. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Those are the opening words of our Gospel reading for today, and they are inarguably affirming. Paul echoes this sentiment when he encourages his flock to pray without ceasing. Prayer is good and important. Our prayer life is the crux of our relationship with God. Praying is the way that we communicate and the way that we are in relationship with God. No prayer, no relationship. So far, so good. Nothing too difficult in verse 1 of chapter 18. Communication is tricky. In our common life, we communicate by a variety of means. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, to name a few. We have instant messages and text messages and any number of ways to get information to those with whom we are interested in communicating. The majority of these methods of communication are quite veiled and vague. I send you a message, and I may or may not have any interest in receiving a response from you. The point of this sort of communication is to convey information, not necessarily to engage in conversation. Lots of folks take issue with Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and the erupting influence of social media, especially as it affects our youth. And there are many viable reasons to take issue with our explosively popular forms of communication, but we would be foolish to deny their impact on the way that we relate to each other, our relationships. And the really unsettling aspect of sending messages out to whoever will receive them is that they sometimes seem a lot like prayer. Desperate cries hurled into the cosmos with no assurance of a response. In our parable, we have a widow, one who has no one to provide for her, one who has no one to protect her, the most vulnerable in that culture, along with the orphans. One that time and again the people of God are commanded to care for. This widow has been mistreated, treated unjustly. We don't know the details, what the injustice actually is. The specifics of this are not important. The widow is relentless. She's determined to get what she deserves. She demands justice. And the unjust judge finally concedes. He, wanting to have his peace and quiet, wanting his golf game uninterrupted, concedes to this widow's persistence and gives her what was her due all along. And so he's not known as the judge who finally came around or the judge who was convinced, but he is known forever as the unjust judge. Even though he finally imparted justice for this persistent widow. And the most bothersome part of this parable is that Jesus seems to be saying that if we are persistent and unceasing in our petitions, in our prayers, that they will be answered just the way we want them to be. We hear, "And will not God grant his justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." Really? We might ask. What about our friends and family who have suffered the loss of loved ones and children, who have prayed night and day that they would be healed? What about those who have suffered all sorts of injustices at the hands of cruel oppressors and evil taskmasters? People have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for the healing of a child with cancer, or a friend with heart disease, or some other horrible affliction. How do we reconcile this with Jesus' words of assurance that God will grant justice even more than the unjust judge? Of equal importance to us, the question that must be front and center is, do we really want justice? It's easy for that widow to demand justice. She is the least of the least, and she apparently has a legitimate complaint, not just a contrived grievance or a perceived mistreatment. We, on the other hand, might not really want to cry too loudly for justice. Mercy, yes. We certainly want that, and we need it. But justice might cause us some discomfort. We might have to give up some of our privilege if justice were served by the Almighty. So maybe we don't really want to be praying for justice, or maybe we do. And either way, we still do not have a nice, neat resolution in this parable. Because we may be praying our hearts out for justice, for a dying child to live, or that slave trafficking and shootings in elementary schools would end. And it seems that we're praying our hearts out and that our prayers go unanswered. So how do we rectify Jesus' words to his disciples? Listen to what the unjust judge says. "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Is the key faith? Or is it that we aren't God's chosen? If we just behaved better and loved more and didn't dance or drink or swear, would all the injustices in the world suddenly come to a screeching halt? Certainly, if we loved our neighbors as ourselves, our lot would improve on a global level. But there would still be inexplicable deadly diseases and hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes. So here we are again, wondering why. And I'm here to tell you, I have no earthly idea why. I still, after all this time and all this theological education, cannot tell you why bad things happen, especially to good people. And I cannot make a nice, neat package out of the words of Jesus that we hear in this parable. But what I can tell you is that I have faith. And that I know in my heart of hearts, in my deepest places of anxiety and uncertainty, that God does hear us. And that it is important that we pray and stay in contact, in relationship with God, in faith, so that when Jesus does come, he will find that there is faith on earth. That we're not those that demand nice and tidy answers, but that we are those who know without a doubt that God is the God of love, the God who reaches out for us in love, and that in our times of deep sadness and deep hurt and total uncertainty about the reasons for the hardships in our lives, God is with us, crying with us, and loving us through it all.
Thanks be to God. Amen.